What's up, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to 305 Radio, a part of 305 Magazine, right here on your number one underground station, MiamiUndergroundRadio.com. I'm your girl, Dre Mob, and you can find me on the gram at 305_Brownie, or you can check out the company page at Dre Mob Productions. Want to give a shout-out to William of Live Sane Media. You can find him at LMG_Willie, and that's Willie with a Y at the end.
Ooh, Willie with a Y. What's good? This is George, 305 Magazine, and thank you for tuning in to 305 Radio. And today we have Miss 305. If you have Pitbull, as Mr. 305, she has to be Miss 305.
Oh, I'm so honored. Thank you so much.
We have Jenny Lee Molina, creator of 305 Cafecito, 305 Day in Miami, which is the official time for to drink coffee. No, I mean the cafecito.
Right there, yes.
The
officially.
Official 305 day. What else do you do? What else?
I mean, well, JLPR, so my agency, and the Arts District. I definitely stay busy. You know, it's that Hialeah hustle gene that
I got. There you go.
but yeah, 305 day just passed, and obviously your 305 magazine, and you've done such a great job many years, by the way.
Thank you.
Covering Miami, like, this is not something you just started last year. Like, I've been following 305 Magazine for a long time, and you've always been just so generous with giving us space for, like, our different clients. Whenever I send something, you guys always include it on their website, and you just are a great platform to highlight people in the 305, so I'm really honored.
I'm so touched.
To be here.
Thank
for
you.
Real. Yeah. It's true. You really have done such a great job for so long, you know? And
I appreciate that.
And so I know that we share that 305 pride.
Man. Man, I'm so happy to see everything you've done for the city.
Thank you.
It warms my heart to see. Like, that's dope and all. Like, I've done nothing in comparison.
Oh, no,
yo,
no.
Let me
we've
tell
all
you,
done it together.
Let me tell you, I think the dopest thing that comes to mind whenever I speak about you, I tell them, hey, so do you know 305? It's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 minutes. It's official cafecito time. They're like, yo, that's so dope. No one even knows this. I tell them, but no, it's official. Like, it's mandated by the city. They're like, nah, that's bullshit. No, for real. And that's the person that did it is who I have on the show. No way, bro. So I'm very excited to have you on the show. Especially, man, it's tough to get you to stand still for a little bit.
I know it is. It is because I really don't stop. You know, and I'm a mom, and so I have my own business, and so I do tend to stay very busy, but I'm just so happy to make time for this show today.
Fresh.
You know, I know that we wanted to schedule it sooner, right after 305 day, and we weren't able to schedule it, so I'm just happy to be here right now, here with you guys.
Thank you very much for coming.
And yeah, no, 305 day is a spinoff from 305 Cafecito. And, you know, I see you got these, like, CBD stickers here.
DVD. DVD.
I thought all this time, I thought it was CBD Lifestyles.
Okay, CBD Lifestyles.
That's you.
But
that's the nickname, the alias.
That's so funny. Okay, that makes sense now. So, DVD Inc. Okay, so all this time, I thought it was CBD. But, yeah, going back to CBD and, like, 305, like, a lot of people always ask me, oh, is it inspired by 420? And I never thought of that until afterwards. Because originally, when I first thought about it was like, oh, well, London has a tea time, Miami should have a cafecito time.
That's awesome.
That's really where it came from. And then, like, a lot of people are like, oh, it's like 420. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's like 420 for cafecito drinkers. Like, we'll go with that. It just sounds much cooler than, like, tea time, you know? But yeah, it's you know, 305 Cafecito is a social media platform that really celebrates our unique, you know, Miami culture. Of course, at 305, we pause for a little coffee break. But
pause.
I always say, nice.
George is next.
You know what? We should all go get 305 tattoos after this.
You tell me. I'm so down.
That's so cool. So, you know, 305 Cafecito started as this platform to just celebrate our unique culture, you know, our love for the 305, our love for Cafecito. And what started as a social media page just for fun really grew. A lot of people were hashtagging 305 Cafecito.
Amazing.
And we really this was when, like, influencer marketing was just, like, really starting. And so it became like this side project where we would use 305 Cafecito as a platform to promote other brands. So we've worked with Nespresso, we've worked with Cafe La Llave, you know, and that's how we've monetized it, using it as, like, an influencer you know, page. And then, of course, the 305 day event, which you know, is a spinoff from that. So on March 5th, you know, we hashtag 305 day, yeah. We start sharing it, it starts going viral, everyone's sharing it. And now this is our sixth year that we've done a 305 day event. It would have been our seventh year, but the first year I tried to do it, the venue I wanted to do it at wasn't available. So we ended up doing that event in April, which was our first event as 305 Cafecito. But this is actually our sixth year that we do an event. And it started as a Ventanita event, you know, at Versailles.
At Versailles, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought...
Hold on, because all of our locals understand that whole terminology, okay, but yes. Anybody who's, like, anywhere else has no idea about the Ventanita and all of
yeah,
that.
No,
can
the
you explain that to us?
So the Ventanita culture in Miami is really our fast food window that you walk up to, right? So you walk up to any ventanita or little window, which is what it translates to, and you just get your cafecito, your croqueta, your pastelitos, and you're on your way. And so, you know, you don't drive up like a drive-through, but it's the same, you know, quick, convenient concept. You go up, you get your food. And so in Miami, you have ventanitas everywhere.
Everywhere.
And cafecito is like our common denominator here, like, you want to make friends, walk into a room with a colada and you make friends right away. You know, and coffee is something that translates to every culture. I mean, you walk into someone's home and the first thing they offer you is water or coffee, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're Cuban or if you're Colombian. So I think, you know, well, of course, Colombian with all the coffee in Colombia. It's like only in Miami, you know, you have Cuban coffee that's really Colombian coffee, but it's it's just the way it's toasted and made. But yeah, you know, coffee translates to all of our cultures, whether you're Cuban-American like me or not. Mm-hmm. Everyone in Miami drinks coffee. So I think that's why it resonated so much with everyone. And 305 Cafecito was the initial idea. And then we started doing 305 Day as like a national, not national, but as a local holiday.
Yeah.
To celebrate our unique culture and our community pride and our 305 pride.
Yeah, the Ventanita culture, when you first started that event, everyone got so hype about Versailles.
Yeah.
Not to go in. Mind you, Versailles is a restaurant where the president comes in to dine when he meets with Cuban Americans and whatnot in our population for whoever.
A lot of protests going on.
A lot of protests.
There.
Whoever the political sphere has in play at the moment, he has dinner with them at the moment.
Totally.
But that whole window got hijacked by 305 Day. It was by 305 Cafecito. It was amazing.
No, thank you. And honestly, I thought we were going to have like 20, 30 people show up.
Nah, 20, 30.
Yeah. It was a Wednesday at 3. And I'm like, we're going to have like 20, 30 people show up. And we had like 300, 400 people. It was crazy. And then we had the news come out. And I was like, okay, we can't do it here next year because it was just too many people.
Too much.
But it was so much fun. And so the following year and for the next 2 years, we did it at Ball and Chain, which was a lot of fun. I love Ball and Chain. Right on A Street.
Yeah.
But then I had to bring it back to my hometown. I'm from Hialeah.
Hialeah.
I love the way you said that. But yeah, so we've been doing the block party now for 3 years in Hialeah.
Yeah, man. It's so much fun.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you had a great time. Dude, it was nice to see you out there.
Man, let me tell you, every year, like, you started, well, before we dive into 305 Day, I mean, there's another part of this that I really want to touch on, which is the Hialeah Arts District.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Not a lot of people know how epic that is because you have the Wynwood, it's its own art district. And then I believe, tell me if I'm incorrect here, but you got together with a few people and you created a little bit of the same vibe in Hialeah.
Yes. And it was actually a response and inspired by Wynwood. So the Hialeah Arts District, which is short for Hialeah, right? Mm-hmm. So for a long time, we would just call Hialeah the Hialeah. You know, it's just something that we as Hialeahans would just call it. You know, a lot of people like from my high school would call it the Hialeah. And so that's really where the name Hialeah Arts District came from, just because we thought Hialeah Arts District was so generic. So we dubbed it the Hialeah Arts District. And the area was zoned by a local councilman, Paul Hernandez, who is an amazing guy. We started collaborating and just brainstorming these ideas, and over time he's become like my family. Like, my husband walked his wedding. Like, he's one of my best friends now, and it's so nice to collaborate with people that eventually become like family, you know. So for years we you know, we're talking, and it was 22 Thursdays back to back. Every Thursday we would meet and we would brainstorm. You know, we would get pizza, we would sit down, we would talk, and we would really visualize what we wanted for Hialeah, you know, mm-hmm. and what we wanted as, you know, young professionals that grew up in Hialeah, but felt like there was a missing void, you know, like there was a void there. You know, there's not a lot of cultural programming in Hialeah. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, the city does a great job putting on their own programming, but really there wasn't anyone else activating events and doing events in Hialeah that were pulling the same demographic, you know, the young families like myself. A lot of us would go to Wynwood, mm-hmm. would go to the Grove, you know, would go everywhere else except Hialeah. You know, we would go there to, you know, to go to Chico's at 3 a.m. when you're on your way home. And, you know, really, or Flanagan's, which I grew up right next to Flanagan's. I would walk there all the time. So there wasn't like a lot of options. And so the inspiration really came from two things. At the time, I was working with Heineken on a mural project mm-hmm. called the Heineken Mural Project.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was in 2012. That was a while ago. Man. I know. Damn, time flies.
I slipped on the can.
Oh, you know, I have one. I'm gonna hook you up. Yes, I have.
Yes,
a,
bro,
yes.
You rock.
Yes, I'll hook you up. Yes, I have a can. I have a few that.
Those cans are so ill.
Oh, I'm gonna hook you up.
So dope.
The spray cans. So yeah, with Heineken, we were working on like some really cool projects mm-hmm. in Miami, in Atlanta, in DC, and we were curating murals throughout the city. And so the inspiration was from that, like, how can we bring murals to Hialeah?
Oh, that's
and
great.
So how can we beautify Hialeah? Like, you know, a lot of people think murals and they automatically think Wynwood, mm-hmm. but you know, you see street art everywhere. You know, in fact, there's a hashtag street art everywhere, which I follow, and you see all of these amazing murals all over the world. I mean,
I'm gonna have to follow them.
Yeah, it's a great hashtag because all of the graffiti writers and muralists use it. So street art everywhere. But yeah, we wanted to just beautify Hialeah and bring some murals to the area, and also provide artists with work. Mm-hmm. You know, so like having a sponsor like Heineken or having a sponsor like Jameson, like these murals are murals that are being paid to be produced. And the artists are getting, you know, a nice little chunk of change for their work.
Yeah,
as opposed
absolutely.
To Wynwood, where a lot of them, you know, were doing it for exposure, were doing it for free. And so at the time, I was representing an art gallery in Wynwood mm-hmm. that sadly closed because, you know, his lease was bought out. It's actually right where our house is now, like right next to it.
Okay, I'm not too sure.
It's on 27th and 2nd Street, so it's right on the main street. Mm-hmm. This was 2010, when you could still find parking in Wynwood. And you could still, you know, you would only go for second Saturdays for Art Walk.
Right.
And so this art gallery owner, he invested so much money into his space. And after investing so much money into his space, he had to move out. And it just made me sad because I started to see what was happening there. And I said, well, what if we went to another place that still was for locals and by locals, that was still off the beaten path, you know, that wasn't going to be a draw for tourists? And Hialeah, no matter how you slice it, you know, it's a for locals, by locals initiative, right? And so the councilman, which I was mentioning, he had zoned that area, which I had no idea at the time, for for artists to live and work. And so with the new zoning for artists to live and work, you know, you open up the space for, you know, gallery owners or artists who want a warehouse, but they can also use it to live and work, obviously.
Right.
And so that zoning happened in, I believe it was 2013.
Okay.
So it was right around the same time. And so I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone, and I tell her, oh man, I'm by the Flamingo Plaza area, and there's all like these empty buildings around here, like, I feel like this area could really lend itself to be a creative hub. I visualized the murals there. Like, I really saw it. And she tells me, oh, you should talk to my friend, Councilman Paul Hernandez, who's actually trying to zone. And I had no idea. It was just, like, very serendipitous. And so this day, I'm so grateful she introduced us. And so we worked really hard on, like, really making this a legitimate, respected project, because we didn't want Hialeah to be the butt of another joke.
You know?
And it's just always like this misconception about Hialeah. You know, you have so many hardworking people that come from there. And it has its quirks, you know, and there are things that There are things that you definitely would only see in Hialeah. But I can't hate on Hialeah. I mean, I'm born and raised there. So, you know, those things are part of Hialeah's charm. But yeah, going back to the project with Paul, we started meeting, we started discussing, and we really wanted to showcase what we were doing with other artists, and we wanted it to be respected. So we really worked hard on bringing artists that were well-known in the street art culture, that were respected. So Trek Six, who did the boombox off of 95.
Man, Trek. Shout out to Trek.
Yeah, I love Trek.
Trek
He's
Six
awesome.
Is amazing He's, artist, man. Amazing artist.
He's like,
he
great.
Did, for those of you that don't know, if you're driving in Miami, a 995, where is it? Like, when you
it's
drive by Wynwood?
Yeah.
Where the RC Cola plant, well, where you see all the big bright lights in Wynwood, that empty lot, there's a big boombox. It's, what is it? It's like a... like an out, it's like a weird little house or whatever.
Yeah, and nobody knows who owns it. Like, there's no folio for that property in the records. It's just an empty shell. Like, nobody really knows what it was before. It might have been like a storage unit.
It looks like a giant storage unit that was just left out of nowhere. But Trek turned it into, first it was before it was like some nice graffiti thing or whatever.
Yeah,
it was
Sunny
cool.
had originally done a boombox that was like in the style of like very prime colors and.
Yeah.
It was very cute, but then it got really, like...
got old.
Yeah.
It the faded paint, the whole night.
Faded, the paint started falling off.
Trek 6 came in.
And Trek and Troy Boogie, they
and
both
Troy,
came in,
oh,
yeah.
Man, yo, both those dudes are insane.
If
so
anybody
talented.
Who lives in Miami, or at least has visited Miami, has a picture in front of
them. Yeah,
yeah. And, that, and then you have the Bob Marley with the Loveism, which is
yeah,
one. He also did the Bob Marleys. They collaborated on that right behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Trek was one of our artists. Kazilla was one of our artists. We had Don Rymix, we have Rainier Gamboa from Hialeah. We really tried to keep it local, and we really wanted them to understand what we were trying to do. We wanted to beautify the community. We wanted to help establish Hialeah as a, you know, cultural destination, which normally you wouldn't think of Hialeah.
No.
That
right,
in that way.
So much culture there. You gotta make it to Hialeah if you haven't been before.
But yeah, with this project, it really grew into something bigger than we ever expected. You know, we started doing pop-up programming, we started doing different events, and really all of the events are aimed at bringing people from different ages, from different backgrounds, and we really wanted to be like a family-friendly. You know, atmosphere, and we also wanted to be really creative and fun, and so that's really the inspiration for all of this.
And man, I think you've already pulled that off, man.
Thank you.
Because it's such a great time when you go over there, and you don't expect the murals that you see. Like, you think Hialeah, we got murals and all this. You think, okay, maybe flowers, whatever. You get there, no, it's full blown, straight up, like some graph oriented. Murals. Like, these artists really put in some energy to make this really dope.
No, thank you. And we really, you know, couldn't do it without the help of the sponsors that have partnered with us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, despite it being in Hialeah, we're not a line item in the city's budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something that we get funding from the city. I mean, they're already strapped. You know, most cities, most municipalities, like, they're really trying to do the best they can with the funding that they do get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is not something that they fund. So the Leah Arts District social media, all of those efforts are really on our side, on the JLPR side, and Paul Helping, who's the councilman. And he's really been like the liaison between us and the city, getting the permits and whatnot. But yeah, this is something that we have to fundraise in order to be able to really make happen.
Well,
so if somebody wants to get involved and maybe become a sponsor, even if they want to make some sort of donation, how can they get a hold of you?
My Venmo is, no, I'm just kidding. No, they could just email me or reach out on Instagram, and we'll make it happen. Yeah, but you know, Sprint has been very generous. Jameson has been very generous.
Shout out to Jameson.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because the people behind those brands that made these decisions are from Hialeah. So, like, they get it, you know?
That's amazing.
Like, so there's definitely a community connection, despite them being big brands. The one on the other side, like, calling the shots are people from Hialeah that are like, okay, I believe in this.
When the universe conspires.
See, I was about to say that. I mean, when the universe conspires in your favor, it's
absolutely.
There.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so grateful because we couldn't do it without them. Like,
so you did. All right, so you got the Lea Arts District happening. Are there any plans on making and expanding it? Because the space that it is, it's great space. Me, I want more.
Yeah, no, so there's a lot of really cool things happening. We have the county's largest brewery opening there very soon on Branded Brewing, which I'm really excited about. And then we have Stevens Deli, which has been there since 1954. So before the Cubans invaded Miami, specifically Hialeah, shout out to my Cubans. You know, that area was a lot of Jewish Americans. Mm-hmm. And so you have a New York style, you know, deli serving up, you know, your traditional, you know, matzo ball soup and bagels.
Could
you imagine the roast beef they have there?
No, the
money in the bank.
The sandwiches are amazing. And
what's it called again?
Stevens Deli.
I need to go.
So
Stevens.
So it opened in 1954, and it has gone through different owners, and now the owner of Kush, Matt Kush, Kush Hospitality, who also has Locale and Spillover, and he's very much centralized in the Grove and Wynwood, just took over that spot. He's preserving it, like keeping it as much as he can to the original, you know, location, even with like the original tables and chairs. And Junior, who's been working there since 1957, okay, this man is 86 years old. Wow. He has been working there since he was a teenager. And that has been his only job since then. He was still there. He went through different ownerships. And he is the one who would can cut the pastrami.
Oh, man, I need to go there, bro.
So he's coming back. Like, he went to work at Kush while they were doing the renovation. Mm-hmm. And now he's coming back. And they're doing like a big mural inside, like honoring him. Because this guy's like an OG. He's been there forever. So it's really nice that they're going to be... you know, paying tribute to him, and it's going to be coming back. And then since the kitchen was so big, they decided they were going to cut down the kitchen and open a cocktail bar called La Cocina.
Oh my God.
Right?
Oye.
La Cocina. La Cocina. And it's going to be by the same owners as Kush, so you know the quality is going to be awesome. You know the food's going to be awesome. And that's going to be Hialeah's first cocktail bar.
Yo, like, that's insane.
We don't have to go to Flanagan's anymore to get a drink. Because really, for a long time, Flanagan's was like the only place with a full liquor license in Hialeah. And then you got Fridays that opened in the mall. But for a long time, like, there was no other places where you can go.
So that's why it's really always packed.
Yo, as soon as she said Fridays, I was like, yo, that's really only the only other place you can go drink like that. It's Fridays, which is in the...
In the Westland Mall.
And
which is not Westland Mall anymore, right?
It was Westfield, and then I went back to...
To Westland.
Westland,
so.
Yeah.
Okay. But there's no other spot. Like, I can't really think of anywhere else.
No. And so that's another reason why we wanted to do these events. Like, we wanted to just, you know... bring more people into Hialeah that we're not just from Hialeah, but really just be a fun place, you know, for people to hang out and have a good time,
so
make memories.
Dope. That's such Thank good you. News to Thank hear, you. Though.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that opening. That's going to be in about 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's Stevens Deli on Instagram.
Stevens
Deli 1954.
I need to go in 6 weeks. I got to set my alarm.
No, for sure. I'm inviting you to the grand opening, Please. All of that. That's going to be really fun. Yeah. And it's just nice to see, like, that place coming back. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have, like, the programming that we'll continue to do. We'll keep doing block parties, and we'll keep doing some fun stuff.
That's really dope. So you established the Lea Arts District. So that leads into a 305 day where you have... The 305 day, the festivities take place in the Lea Arts District.
Correct. So for the last 3 years, we've done our 305 day block party in the Lea Arts District. It was a way of marrying like all my little babies into one. and it just made sense to have it there, you know, just to bring that programming there. Because Ball and Chain, as big as it is, it started to get a little small for like what we were trying to do. Mm-hmm. And it was more of a happy hour. Now it's a full day, you know, event, a festival. And I just still can't believe we got Trick Daddy this year. Like, no, that was Trick, like...
And Trina. Did Trina pop up?
No, Trina...
She was supposed to pop up.
Yeah, we were hoping, you know, we had heard some rumors. They had gotten us excited. And then I'm what do you mean? Where's my girl Trina? But who knows? Maybe next year.
Yo, let me tell you. As soon as I saw it on the gram, I left before Trick got there.
Oh, yeah. Because you were there from the morning.
Yeah, I was
dying.
You were not nonstop every time I saw you.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But when Trick came out, yo, everyone on my timeline blew the fuck up. It was all Trick. Everyone loves Trick. I mean, I'm so happy to see he came out to 305 Day.
Yeah, I mean,
he's supposed to be there.
He's iconic, you know, and I mean, I graduated around the same time when his songs were like always on the radio, like no matter where you went, you would hear Trick Daddy. So like the high school senior in me was like so excited.
Awesome.
But yeah, he... you know, he's really an icon in the hip-hop world in Miami, you know, and he really has made a name for himself. And so it was just exciting to have him there.
That is dope.
Yeah.
I'm glad you pulled that off.
Yeah, Larry. Thank you. Thank you so much. I wasn't sure if we could. You know, we were, like, going back and forth for a while, and fortunately it all worked out.
Let me tell you, I brought up Trina because before I even left, everyone came up to me, yo, George, where you going? Trick and Trina's coming. And I was like, but I go, look, I know Trick is showing up. That's
yeah.
If it pulls off, awesome. But yo, Trick is
who
here.
Who knows? Maybe next year.
Shit, next year, man, you could pull off 305 Day, Pit, Luke.
Well, I mean, there's so much talent in Miami.
I know. If you were even pull in everyone that's been affiliated and blew up because of those people, you
like
bring
Flo Rida.
Everyone.
I had no idea Flo Rida lived in Hialeah Gardens.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Flo Rida is a local, man.
Yeah,
Time I interviewed Flo Rida, look, so during 305 Magazine, we interviewed Flo Rida. We attempted twice. Before Low came out, it was the day before he dropped Low. And I heard, I was like, my man, you're about to be rich. You're about to, he's
That's
like,
a
yo.
Classic.
So he plays his whole album, yo, Flo Rida, that party shit, he could do everything. Homie had a song called Boombox about hip hop artists. Jamming to his boombox, inspiring him. She never made it to the album. But every time I ran into him, he was writing. That's my whole point. Like, Flo Rida is one of those cats that he's so dedicated, all he did was write. Ran into him somewhere, he's in his car writing. There's a party, 15,000 naked chicks. And he's like, wait, I got this verse. I'm working on this verse. Guy is super dope, man. I love Flo. I think
That's
he's super
awesome.
Dope. So you should get him to come out 305
Radio. Yeah, I know who's listening to 305 Radio.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Do you have like a dream collaboration or maybe somebody who you're like dying to get on one of these events?
You know, I had no idea that Diplo was from Miami until recently.
Diplo and Afrojack.
Yeah, from...
this EDM. Ultra?
No, Ultra, I know. No, oh, God, I can't think of it now.
Shout out to Afrojack. Ultra, he tore it up. Like, he destroyed it.
I'm
so
Ultra?
Regretfully. Regretfully, I'm paying for it today. No, but I went the last day. It was really dope. It was
cool.
Really good. But I didn't know Afrojack was from Miami.
Yeah, I had no idea until recently either.
Yeah, and then I heard Diplo a few months back. I was like, he's from Miami?
Yeah, it's really cool.
How crazy
is that?
It's
nice to see that we have so much like talent in Miami, you know, and undiscovered talent. So, of course, we always want to have like a headliner that draws people,
right.
Especially because it's a free event, you know, so we really want to give people like an amazing experience and like value. Like the motto of 305 Day is always to make it free for the community. What I want to incorporate next year though is a little different. Now I definitely want to always do the family friendly event, but for next year on 305 Day on March 5th, I would love it to be a day when people actually go out and do community service projects for Miami or pledge hours to be able to like volunteer for different things throughout Miami, because it's great to have fun. Like we all love
Absolutely.
To have fun, but like how are we really engaging people to really give back, you know? And a lot of people, you know, it's hard to make a donation, you know? A lot of people want to give back, but maybe they don't have the resources or the means to do so. So the best way to give back is of course sharing your talents, you know? So I would love for it to be a day when everyone is either pledging hours or doing different projects throughout Miami, mm-hmm. Where we can all like share our different gifts. You know, we all have ways to give back.
That's such a good idea.
Thank you.
That's
yeah.
such a great idea.
Yeah, and it's I was actually inspired by PhilanthroFest, which would do an annual philanthropy, you know, kind of a festival.
Mm-hmm.
Hence PhilanthroFest. And, you know, they haven't been doing it for a few years now. So their idea was really to get people across Miami to pledge hours to volunteer to with different organizations. So I would love to do something like that, but online, where people could go online, look at different projects, and pledge a certain amount of hours. I mean, it would be amazing if we had...
Especially seeing what happens, the aftermath of these events, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Look, I know Key Biscayne right now is a mess.
It's so sad.
Spring break destroyed half the city. Like, all these spring breakers, they just... It's mojón area. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's little kid shit. You know, you're going to a party. You don't care what you spill your drink, what you drop, what you leave. It doesn't
What's
matter.
What's crazy is we had an out-of-towner come in, and it went viral.
Wasn't that...
It was, like, picking up trash after
yeah.
all these spring breakers. And that hit me, like, so hard. Because I'm
yeah.
like, man, this guy's not even from here. And, like... He cares about the environment and what's going
it's
on.
It's not even about fame, nothing. It's like, yo, like, this is our world. Like, actually
yeah.
clean up, take care of things. And then I know you've seen videos of the oceans full of trash.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you just imagine Miami looking like that? No,
yeah,
I can't.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is incredible. You know, when you do that, I'll sign up. I'm definitely
Oh, awesome.
Down.
Yeah, no, we
down.
Could do beach cleanups, you know. And I think it's also a way of also educating the public that when you go to the beach, you leave it the way you found it, if not better.
Absolutely.
You know, like, the beach is, you know, our most precious, you know...
resource.
Yeah, yeah. absolutely.
Where,
like, here my...
You know how many people are, like, driving down the street and you see them, like, lower their window and, like, throw out, like, their fast food or, like, wrappers and you come?
Absolutely.
Like...
Yeah.
You know, and that's sad, but, you know, I've seen videos where there's traffic and it's some kind of, like, midtown area where it's just forest type deal and you see some guy rolls down his window, throws a can... Some guy gets out of his car, grabs the guy, pulls him out of the car, tells him, get you, he just bitches at him, and he slams the car, he goes, don't you let this guy in the car, and then he picks up that can.
That's hilarious.
He's a 6-foot guy against a 5-foot guy, which I totally see, but man, like, things like that, we need to have that kind of attitude towards our own
self. Yeah, yeah, and I think it all starts with educating people, you know, not only the people that come from outside,
mm-hmm.
but you
it
also see it local.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, worst case scenario, you don't like picking up trash, we could do evasive animals. Go kill pythons in the Everglades.
You can go do that.
No, I'm good.
But no, we could even do that with invasive plants. We've done that in Virginia Key, the Global Relief Project.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of like plants that shouldn't be there that actually hurt the ecosystem
really?
There. So you have a lot of people that just like uproot stuff that just shouldn't be there. And so
Damn,
there's a lot
know.
Of different ways
yeah.
of giving back, you know, that... we can all collaborate and give back
Absolutely.
One way or another. So,
yeah.
You know.
Man, so, hold on. So, we covered 305 Cafecito, which is the official time to drink coffee, which is tea time, which is like 420, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
420 for coffee drinkers, right? And we talked about 305 Day, the Lea Arts District. Man,
well,
JLPR.
JLPR, is that what really started everything?
That's your
yeah.
Your company.
So my sister and I own a boutique marketing agency.
Mm-hmm.
JLPR started as basically just focusing on just PR. In fact, I didn't even name my agency. When I was working at Burson Marsteller, which is a huge PR agency. It's probably the second or third largest PR agency in the world
mm-hmm.
On Brickell Key. And they have different offices all over the world in like 32 different countries. For me, that was huge. Like working there was a big, big deal. That was my school. And I'm so grateful that I worked there because I learned a lot. But it was very corporate. And so
mm-hmm.
while I was there, I was also doing things on the side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So my first big event was a poetry, a women's poetry festival, SWAN,
nice.
Support women artists now. And so because I was doing it pro bono, she asked me, Deborah Magdalena, I don't know if you met her, she's the founder, she asked me, do you have a logo so I could put it on the flyer, you know, since you're donating your time? And at the time, I was like doing their MySpace page, like
this. MySpace.
Yeah. So I'm dating myself. So I was already using social media, you know, in a very progressive way, you know, to promote events and whatnot. Putting in the bulletin every day, you know, like making sure people see it. But yeah, she wanted to put my logo on the flyer and I didn't have a logo. And so she's like, oh, I'm just going to put JLPR since you're Jenny Lee and you do PR. And I was like, okay.
No.
Yeah. And so it just stuck. And then
the universe conspired.
Yeah.
The universe on your side.
So, yeah,
once again.
So JLPR, I never even named JLPR. Like, you know, and so that's where the name came from. And then I opened a Facebook page. And so while I was working at Burston, I was doing, you know, several events. I had done that one. Then my second big event, which to this day was one of the dopest events Miami's ever seen, was when we had the Future Classic Festival. I know you remember that.
The Future probably. Sounds really
that
familiar.
Sounds
familiar.
That was at in 2009. That was, wow, 10 years ago already. That was with NERD, before Pharrell got happy.
Really?
Yeah, with NERD, and we had Afro Beta, we had Spam All Stars, Locos Poblana. So we had like all these local bands opening up for NERD. With Pharrell, and you know, it was just such a cool event. Soho Studios, and
okay,
it's just such a huge space, and that was just so
that
fun.
That is so dope.
Yeah, we had like a skating ramp inside, like it was the coolest event, and that was together with Contagious Music. And so I would say that that was like the first event where I was just really set on doing my own thing. Like I was like, I want more of this. I want to keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And I was also not pregnant with my son yet. I still think I got pregnant that night, by the way. But a month later, I found out I was pregnant. TMI. No, but honestly, after that, I was done. I was like, this is what I want to do. And so I got pregnant with my son. I was married at the time. Oh, I'm still married. But I decided not to go back to work after maternity leave. Like, I got the taste of that event, like, right before my pregnancy. And
the leave, and she was just like,
Exactly. So I went on maternity leave, and I never came back. I was like,
sorry, guys.
I was like, I'm going to do this. And then that's when I started working with the gallery in Wynwood.
Nice.
So that's kind of like how it all, like, comes full circle. So, yeah, I mean, I love doing events. I love promoting amazing artists from Miami. So for me, that was just such a cool event, and that really just inspired me to pursue JLPR full time.
That was awesome.
And then after that, you know, and my sister came on board. She was graduating around the same time with her degree in communications, and she's an actress. She's very talented, but you know, acting in Miami is not, you know, a big you know, career. You know, there's not a lot of opportunities. And so while she does a lot of things in theater and she travels and whatnot, you know, she, her 9-to-5, more like 24/7, but, you know, she's my partner. So she's my managing partner at JLPR. My husband AT also works with me. My mom does our booking, you know, our bookkeeping, and it's really a family business.
That's amazing, man. I'm so happy
thank
for you, man.
Thank
that's
you.
So fresh.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, what, so Jenny, one of the, you know, now that we know who you are and how involved in the city with everything you are, do you feel, how do you see Miami artists viewed from the outside in?
I think there's a lot of respect for Miami and the music and the artists that we have here. You know, I think Wynwood has been such a platform for a lot of our Miami artists. You know, we just have so much talent here. And
we really do.
And there's so much diversity. So, you know, you have so many different genres when it comes to music. You know, you have like the Latin influence, and then you have, of course, the hip hop influence. Yeah. And then you have like the booty shaking influence, right?
Yes.
Because like we can't forget, like, you know, the music scene in Miami has been popping for a long time, even before social media.
Yes.
You know, you even go all the way back to Two Life Crew and even before that. So there's just so much rich culture coming out of here, you know, whether you want to look at it as lowbrow or not. I mean, it is what it is. Like, it's our culture.
Even the bands that you named that opened up for Pharrell, Those are incredible bands.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Itaúí and Locos.
Yeah, Locos is awesome.
Amazing band. Itaúí's a funny dude, man. I can't wait to get him on the show.
Oh, he has
to
reschedule.
He rescheduled.
I want to get him at 305 days. Yo. Like, I've been wanting him to perform in the Lea Arts District for a while. My husband actually worked with him for a long time.
Uh-huh.
A.T. Molina, shout out to him. He produced their first and third album, if I'm not mistaken. So he's collaborated with them on a few different albums. He's a music producer. And, you know, it's just great to see all of this different Miami talent from so many different backgrounds, you know?
Yeah,
just,
absolutely. Every single, like, you cannot grab all the, you could grab every band in Miami, put them in one room, and you have the whole world. Easily, you have the whole, parts of the world you've never heard of.
That's true.
You are from, you know, that spot next to some country that you've never heard of, like some other shit.
No, and not even just like Latin, like you have the French horn, you know, from the lead singer and trumpet player, he's from France, so obviously French horn. And then you have a lot of talent, even, you know, north from Miami. You have a lot of talent even in Broward, too.
Absolutely. Shout out to Broward.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Broward is north of Dade County, which Dade County is where Miami is.
Yes.
So the county up north. Mad love, a lot of talent. There's talent all around, because I know up north you have Home Team, which is, Home Team is a clothing brand. Shout out to Home Team. These dudes, like, they did it up. Like, they printed their own old school UM jackets.
Oh,
like the
two life crew jackets. Yes, I love those jackets.
Them joints are so expensive. But they're so ill. Oh, I love them. So, they only made one, so.
Yeah. Well, I remember having one. My dad had one of those jackets. Yeah, and I lost it in fifth grade, and I never heard the end of it. Like,
yeah,
it was
for
like,
sure. I'd still bring
it
up
was like the green one with the
orange bands.
The orange bands, yeah.
I would totally remind you every day.
My dad used to have like the UM like tag on his car. Like, he was a big fan of sports, always has been. And to this day, I regret losing that jacket.
Man, if anyone has a hookup for those jackets, hit us up.
Every time I go to Goodwill, I'm like, man, I want to find one of those jackets. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No one's letting that go, man. No one's letting that go. Plus, they're hard to come by.
Yeah.
They sell out fast. The All Cane store, shout out to All Cane store. They hook it up with they do a lot of signings for a lot of UM alumni. And they have those jackets every now and then. But the moment they go on sale, that weekend, they're gone.
They're gone.
All of them. Shout out to Jaden. He's here taking pictures. So,
Jaden, are you getting my good side? Hold on, I'm going to put this in.
Jaden, get the good side. Get the good side, son.
Or with the angles.
With the angles.
There you go.
Yo, let me tell you, if Instagram and cell phones have created something, it's given everyone a sense of angles.
Totally. It's all about the angles, all about the lighting.
So, Jenny, tell us, if someone wants to reach you in general, wants to talk to you, I know we mentioned it already, but I want to bring it back. I want to, you know, make sure people understand how they could get in contact with you. What are the avenues here?
So, Instagram is always great. You know, Jenny Lee is me on my Instagram. That's my personal Instagram. Email, text, Google me. You'll find me.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
Google me.
Yeah. So Jenny Lee Molina at JLPR.com or Jenny Lee at JLPR.com is my email. But yeah, I love to collaborate with people. So if anyone is inspired by this conversation, wants to volunteer, or become involved with 305 Day, 305 Cafecito,
yes,
the Lea Arts District, please let's make some magic. That's what it's all about.
One thing I want to bring up is that I noticed, I follow you on IG, and I noticed you have you went through this transformation. You went on this journey. And then you got some backlash.
I did a little bit.
So tell us about this journey. You went on a weight loss journey.
Backlash from who?
Yeah, no. Like, I was surprised. Because the thing is, like, before you jump into it, let me just, like, every time you see people that they have no problem, like, they push the plus size and things like that, it's cool, because I'm happy to see you're happy. But at the same time, you should be happy. Everyone else is happy, right? Happiness is the key, is a goal. Like, right now, I'm happy as shit that Jaden was able to make it.
Thank you, Jaden.
Thank you, Jaden, for making it out here.
I'm happy to be here.
There you go. I'm happy that Jenny was able to make it out here. Now, let's say I start losing some weight and I start gaining some muscle. My friends start hating on me. Like, so it's going to happen. But then
they're not your friends.
But then someone, this is the thing. Like, the journey was, I know that you went on this weight loss journey and it was incredible.
Thank you. I'm still working hard. I'm still working hard. I lost 80 pounds.
Man, congrats. Because you've shown your journey online on your IG.
Yeah, I've been very vulnerable. Thank you. I've been very vulnerable and vocal about it because IG was a huge source of inspiration for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I would follow hashtags that really inspired me, like before and after, weight loss transformation, weight loss journey. So my feed on my Discover, you know, was always very much geared towards what I was trying to accomplish in my life, you know. For a long time, I was working so hard on everything except me, and I was just stuck, you know. I wouldn't eat healthy. I was eating, you know, really bad, really badly. I was barely sleeping. I wasn't drinking water, like... It was like 3-4 in the afternoon. I've answered a bunch of emails and I still haven't even had a sip of water. And yes. That kind of became like my lifestyle. And it eventually caught up to me. Like, I want to say that for a good 3-4 years, mm-hmm. I was just really just putting on a lot of weight. And I had a knee injury and that didn't help either. So I wasn't like very active. Mm-hmm. And that's probably when I put on the most amount of weight. I put on like a good 40, 50 pounds just from the knee injury alone.
Ouch. Yeah, your knee will do to you.
Yeah, because I was limping and I was in crutches for mm-hmm. like a good 7 months before I was able to get my surgery. And, you know, I finally got knee surgery and was able to take care of that. But then the recovery was like another, you know, even still now, like, you know, I'm wearing heels today, but it hurts when I go up and downstairs. You know, yes. I don't have part of my meniscus because of the injury.
Ouch.
So, you know, that was wasn't easy, you know, and I put on a lot of weight. And I've been just very open about my weight loss journey because I know that, you know, I've always been big on using social media for social good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where it came from. So I've just shared my journey and... Along the way, I've been inspired by people, but I've also had the privilege of inspiring other people who are seeing me and saying, oh, if she can do it, I can do it too. And that's a beautiful thing, especially moms, you know, because as moms or, you know, as busy professionals, like we tend to put everything else first and not necessarily ourselves. And, you know, you got to take care of yourself. Like this body's what's going to take us through to the end.
That's true.
And it's, we just got to take care of ourselves. We live in a society that's like so much about instant gratification, and we don't realize like that food is fuel, you know. And so I really started to look at the way you know, I was working like an athlete, but I wasn't training like an athlete.
that's a good analogy.
Like everything was like a marathon, and I was like, I need to make sure that my body could keep up with my brain.
Absolutely.
And so that's really where it came from. I started to take care of myself. Last year in January, I was like, I'm not gonna have the same New Year's resolution next year. Like, I'm doing this, and I just started working out. I made a commitment one day after another, and you know, 80 pounds later, I still have some more weight to gain. Thank you.
Big time, that was awesome. But then you got some backlash, though.
I did, a little bit. So there's someone that is a very big influencer, no pun intended, in the body positivity world.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a supermodel who I admire very much.
She's really pretty.
She's beautiful. She's a beautiful girl. No one can take that away from her. But, you know, I had met her and I had done a photo shoot with her. She was someone that I admired for a very long time just because I was a big girl. I was plus size, or am, depending on how you look at it. And she unfollowed me on social media. And her and I used to always engage. We would talk. And so I messaged her and I was like, hey, you know, what's up? You know, you unfollowed me. Like, I thought we were cool. And she's like, oh, well, your before and after pictures are very triggering. They're not body positive. And so that whole conversation went from a private conversation to like screenshots in my story, which was my mistake because it was a private conversation that maybe I should have kept private. But I thought that just keeping it within my story, it would just stay between like me and my friends.
Oh, no.
I didn't.
People got screenshots.
Yeah, and then Perez Hilton wrote about it.
Shut up.
And then, yeah, because someone tagged him in the post, and it just kind of blew up. And what I do want to say about that is that I'm all about being happy in the skin you're in, no matter what size you are. But I think that it's not truly body positive when you, not necessarily hate, but... tell someone that, oh, because you lost weight and because you're posting before and after pictures, that's not body positive. Where when I think, in my opinion, I think it definitely is, you know?
Do you feel happy?
I feel so happy.
That's all that matters.
So happy.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, no, and I wish I would have like just kept it quiet, but it kind of blew up and I didn't expect it to blow up. And then I was accused of reaching out to, because I'm a publicist, I was accused of reaching out to Perez Hilton, and that was never the case. Someone had tagged him in my post. And so then all of her fans like were coming on my page and like hating on me, and like it was really ugly. Like I had never seen that side of the internet before.
So you saw the online bullying.
Oh, I had never seen that side of the internet before. I've always like been really blessed that, you know, I'm a local community person, so it's like everything is very like local, but I had never seen like complete strangers just like bashing me, you know?
That sucks.
And I understand like before and after pictures are very much tied to like the diet culture. Mm-hmm. And in no way was I saying that the before me was less than the me now, because mm-hmm. it's the before me that did the work, you know? It's the before me that got to where I got in terms of like my career.
Yeah.
So I didn't do it because I hated who I was. I did it because I loved who I was and I wanted to make sure I was around longer, you know? Like I had pre-diabetes, I had sleep apnea, I had high cholesterol.
Yes, me.
So I had to do something about it. When my doctor told me, I'm like, he's like, in 5 years, if you don't do something, you're gonna be full-blown diabetic. I was like, okay, I gotta do something.
Yeah.
So that's why I made like a big change. Like in June, it'll make a year that I've been completely plant-based. Mm-hmm. So I follow a Whole Foods plant-based diet. No croquetas for me.
Damn.
You gotta come up with some like vegan.
We gotta come actually, up with vegan croquetas.
Yes.
Well, you know, actually, wait. Vegan Cuban
cuisine. Well, yeah, almond flour, and you can make it with chickpea. But vegan Cuban cuisine, they do vegan croquetas. And my husband, for Valentine's Day, got me a box.
Awesome. Shout out.
So they're really good, actually. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many options.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's not una croqueta de jamón.
But think about it. Anything fried.
George would never go vegan.
Nah, look, I love vegan food.
No.
I love it. Look, I'm a chef by trade. I'm a chef. I know how to cook. I opened the Ritz Carlton. I've cooked for Don Shula. I'm a good cook. I'm about my shit. I could cook vegan. It's fun to experiment and do things.
Yeah.
Because you have to find a way to make things happen. The only thing that troubles me about vegans. You add water to cashews, it does not create cashew milk. Let's stop calling these things milk. Because it's just because it's a different color. You know what I'm saying? But it's like cashew water.
Cashew beverage.
Something else, just not milk. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what I've seen? Them milk with a Y instead of an I.
Milk.
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 Yeah, but
I mean, people get creative with it. I think it's dope, but it's just as creative as you have to get with your food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a, in Coconut Grove, there's a farmer's market. I don't know if you've been.
Yeah.
Have you tasted the vegan ice cream?
No, I've never had that. Oh my God. I'm going to go have that.
The vegan ice cream is so out of this world. These guys, you're there hanging out, and they have these little tubs, and you're like, vegan ice cream, it's gonna be ice, flavored ice. No, it is creamy.
It's like milk?
It's chocolate. it's weird milk. I don't wanna say cashew milk. But it's, so, I don't know how they do it, but at the end of the day, bro, it tastes so good. It's chocolate, vanilla, and you'd think it's regular ice cream. Amazing.
Well, you know, with fruits and you can make like sorbets, and they're like frozen, but not necessarily like.
But
ice
they're
cream.
Not healthy though, because it's a lot of sugar.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's options, though.
There's options, I know.
A lot of people don't know this, but like Oreos are vegan, Sour Patch Kids are vegan.
Sour Patch Kids are vegan?
Yeah, but doesn't necessarily mean that they're good for you. Like, French fries are vegan, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are vegan.
I'm totally about that.
I mean, there's a lot of vegan junk food, so I don't necessarily say vegan. Plus, it also scares people. Like, they think, like, it's, like, a religion, and they're like, oh, my gosh, she's a fanatic. You know? And I get it. Like, there's that side of it, too. But I always say whole food plant-based because it's really more about, like, just incorporating. We all know fruits and veggies are good for you.
Absolutely.
So it's really about incorporating more fruits, veggies, beans. Like, I could do lentils all day. Like, I could have lentils every single day of my life, and I'd be fine. Lentils and white rice. And
I could eat chicharros.
Chicharos. Oh, well, split pea. That's split pea.
Yeah, I love chicharro.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah. That's comfort food.
Yes, bro. That's
I love beans and rice.
Man, tell me about that, man. Like, I love...
With potatoes.
I know you're maintaining this figure.
But see, at the end of the day, it's just really dope to see that you're involved in so many things.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? And your journey has, you know, you have this weight loss journey, and then you're creating all these things from Miami at the same time. I mean... You're just everywhere. You're just everywhere. So what do you have coming up this next year? What's coming up? What's Jenny got coming?
So thank you. Well, I'm going to continue on my journey, you know, continue on this wellness journey and hopefully inspiring other people along the way. I've really found like a lot of just happiness in this process. Like, you have no idea how many DMs I get from like women who are like struggling and like, give me advice, or how did you do it? Or I look at your pictures before I go to the gym so I could just get through the hour. And like, you know, it's not hundreds of people.
Yeah, but one is enough to.
It's just that impact is amazing. So I really want to continue doing that. And so I've been really catering my own personal social media channel to really document my journey, you know, into really exploring wellness and just making myself first in terms of, you know, my weight and my food. And so I'm really documenting that on social media. I posted a video like 2 days ago about my next challenge, and I really want to compete in a triathlon.
Yo.
So like, that's like bucket list, right? Like
Hell yeah.
And I've always wanted to do that. So I'm going to do it. And
the Spartan race type deal?
You know, that's super scary to me. Like, I can't even imagine doing that. And after my knee injury, I'm really scared of getting re-injured. So even like running is really hard for me because it hurts. But it's not like an unbearable pain that I can't run. It's
but
just
you could
painful.
Walk. You know, you could.
Yeah, I could walk.
Or jog. Or
yeah, but it's just like the impact on that right knee is just, it still hurts. And I had this accident 2014. I fell downstairs.
Oh,
and I
God.
Completely blew out my knee, like tore my ACL, my MCL, and part of my meniscus. Like, it was like a football injury. The doctor was like, are you sure you weren't playing football? Because this is like a football injury. Like,
yeah,
I don't see
that's
this.
An injury, like, you just got hit
He's
hard.
Like, I don't see these injuries. Like, someone who falls downstairs. And I'm like, well, I must have fallen really good. So for me, that's like a big deal. So that's next is definitely like... On the wellness side, I would love to complete a triathlon. I'm going to do it. I'm going to train for it. I'm going to keep working hard. And then, you know, just building 305 Day, 305 Cafecito, and working with my clients. I'm just so lucky to really do what I love. Like, I feel blessed every day. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Like how you said, like, oh, you're everywhere. But sometimes I feel like I'm all over the place and not in a good way.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, it's just a lot. So I really want to focus on... you know, continuing what I'm already doing and doing it well and just making it better. You know, the Leo Arts District, just bringing more artists and...
Man, I think you've done such a phenomenal job with every single project that you've put your mind to.
Thank you.
I mean, 305 Day, incredible. Leo Arts District, that's a staple. That's going to become a staple in the community.
Thank you. I hope it's my legacy. Like,
I think,
born and raised in Hialeah, and I hope that it's something that exists far... longer than I do in this world. So that's the plan. You know, I would love for that to be.
I think you're well on your way.
Thank
Jenny.
You.
I really do, because you've done so much and I've wanted to interview you for a long time.
Oh,
so I'm glad.
You all the time. You're so sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, for real. What did I tell you, Jaden, when you walked in?
I'm
told
so
him,
like,
brother, 305 Day she did.
Stop, I'm gonna cry. Like, honestly,
I really, and
it's not just me. Like, thank you. Like, I feel like I'm like that conduit, that messenger.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't do it without everyone else supporting and resonating with it and really being about it too.
Well, let me tell you,
so
people gravitate to this energy. And I think that you've done a very good job of defining this energy and moving it around to your whims, you know, for you to make things happen. 305 Day is an incredible event. It happens once a year here in Miami in Hialeah. and you have 305 whenever you're in Miami, and the clock hits 3:05. Make sure you're taking a shot of coffee. Man, what else do you have going, man? Like,
Leo
I don't know.
Leo
Arts District, you have to come to Hialeah.
I haven't talked about my son yet.
Tell me about your son. Wait, hold up. Shout out to your son, because he's doing hip-hop now.
Yeah, he's doing hip-hop classes on Monday nights. He's actually there right now.
Okay.
From 7 to 9. So he'll watch this or hear this later.
All right.
And yeah, I have an 8-year-old son, and... I just want to say on the radio, because I want him to hear this later, that I love him and I'm so proud of him.
Awesome.
And
what's your son's name?
Rock.
What up, Rock?
Hi, Rock.
Rock Elijah. Yeah, he's an amazing 8-year-old boy and just so smart and fun. And he's like my little sidekick.
And I'm saying, look, his mom is well connected in the city doing events left and right. His dad is a producer. Man, this kid has it made.
And he's got such a cool name, right?
Can I'm saying, Rock. Yeah, man. He could call himself The Rock.
You know, and I'm so happy that Rock is someone I actually like, because that would have not turned out so well.
You have to go change your name,
John. Yeah, I'm like, what are you changing your name? No, but yeah, The Rock is awesome. Shout out to Dwayne Johnson.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I love being a mom, and that's really the inspiration behind everything I do, is really because of him. You know, I really think I wouldn't hustle as hard if I didn't have someone I had to provide for, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day. So I think that is really the basis of everything I do, is just going back to be able to provide for my family and, mm-hmm. and provide for him and, you know, make my family proud. And so being a mom is a big part of everything I do.
So what do you think, now that you bring up Rock, if he, you know, what direction, if you had to choose in media, would you steer him?
You know, he is like a little mini me. Like, he looks just like AT, mm-hmm. but he's like a little mini me, and I just want him to pursue his dreams, whatever they may be. You know, I can see it already. Like, he loves to talk to people. He's definitely a people person, so that's a great quality. Mm-hmm. Just someone that appreciates other people and just loves to engage with other people is just a beautiful thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't do enough of that. Like, he can just go up to anyone and strike up conversation, and I think that's like a lost art, mm-hmm. especially in like this tech driven society where everyone's in front of a screen, you know. Like, having this one-on-one human connection is so special, and I just love that about him. So whatever he decides to do, I'm gonna support him. You know, I was fortunate enough to have a family that was very much about that, and yeah, whatever he decides.
That is dope.
I'm sure it's going to do great.
You got a bright future in front of you, my friend.
Thank you.
But Jenny, we're out of time, man.
Damn,
I wish I had more time.
Let's go.
I want to dive into more music. And music, Jenny, what music you used to listen to, booty dancing the whole night.
I
got to
bring you back.
We got
to
bring you back.
I'm happy to come back whenever you guys want.
Any upcoming events that you may have, consider us as one of your media stops.
Thank you.
We want to have you back anytime you possibly can.
Thank you for sure.
You know, if anyone wants to reach out to you, what are your hashtags? What are your ads?
I'm Jenny Lee is me on Instagram, mm-hmm. JLPR. 305 Cafecito, 305 Day, Leo mm-hmm. Arts District. You can find me on all of those.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, John George, where can they find you?
They can find me at 305 Magazine, everything social media.
Awesome.
Like, I jump on that the moment I hear this. So, 305. So you can find me at 305 Magazine everywhere. If you want to hit me up on the DMs, or if you visit 305magazine.com, my email's there. You can hit me up there. Or you can hit me up on my personal. It's Struck305. But you got to request me. There's a bunch of weirdos.
Yes, I know.
But, you know, damn, Brownie, where could we find you, huh?
You can find me at 305_Brownie. And Jenny, thank you so much for joining us. We're very happy to have you here in the studio with us, finally live and
finally.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. You guys are awesome. Just such good
thank
vibes.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm sure it won't be the last time.
Hopefully. It better not be the last time. We want you back. I mean, shout out to Jaden for coming out, taking pictures.
Jaden.
Thank you for having me.
Jaden snapping all these shots. You'll see the pictures later. Shout out to Will. He's not with us today. MMG. What is it? What is he now? MMG?
It's LMG_Willie.
I just made it. Really, Will does a lot of
it. Might as well.
He shoots a lot of Rick Ross shit, so I'm always like, yo, MMG. So it's hit up Will on his Instagram. Shout out to Will. Shout out to Jen. She's usually here in the studio with us, but she couldn't make it, so we got homie here, Jaden. And yeah, man.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys need? You want
to
talk about? You want
to
say goodbye?
All of our loyal listeners all over the world, because we definitely have a very broad audience. To our surprise, we thought it was just going to be locals, but we got people from
shout out to Venezuela.
Dali.
Somewhere in Venezuela. You know, the shit show that's happening there.
Oh,
I hope
so
you guys
sad.
Pull through. Panama. My family's listening in Panama. Que
nice.
Buena, my friends.
It's such a beautiful country.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like Miami in the 80s,
yeah,
except
beautiful.
The Coke.
Thank you so much to everybody who is tuning in. You guys guys can catch us here at 305 Radio on MiamiUndergroundRadio.com. Make sure you guys stick around because we have Art House coming up next with Bias representing the 305. So we'll be right back. We're just going to take a quick break while we switch shows, leave you guys with some local artists from MiamiUndergroundRadio.com. Thank you once again, Jenny.
Thank you so much.
I didn't save the lives.